Atheist Nomads, episode 285, The Order of Malta.
The podcast you're about to listen to includes cursing and talking about hoo-haws. Please be advised.
Welcome to the episode of Atheist Nomads. I am Dustin. Joining me is Lauren.
We need to redo the beginning of that, by the way.
Okay.
Because hoo-haws should not be a reason for not...
True.
For what do you call that?
Right. Well, and...
Words.
We don't have guests like that on as much anymore, because that came up when a fellow podcaster was listening with his like 12-year-old daughter, and during the interview, eating ass came up. Yeah. And so she asked him, why would people do that? And he was not ready to have that conversation with his daughter.
Well, yeah, okay. But who... Hoo-haws themselves are not something to be censored.
No, they aren't. And relevant to this week's episode, at least one of the stories.
Oh, well, always.
Yeah.
It's always relevant.
And we have Jason with us.
I'm here
Oh, hi,
back
Jason!
For the fourth time.
I know, it's great. I'm here to talk about the time I got through an interview by eating ass.
Yes. Eating the JJ as well.
So, and speaking of all of that, you just got married.
I did. I just got married.
Congratulations.
No, thank you.
Oh,
no, you guys jinx. Shotgunned me. Congratulations, both barrels. No, it was great. We had I got married to my lovely girl fiance wife now.
Yeah.
It was one of those
that
things.
That takes a little while to get used to.
Yeah. It's still making the switch. Like, I still start talking about my girlfriend and I'm like, oh shit, shouldn't say that in front of my wife.
Well, you know how those comedians are.
Yeah, they are.
And of course we have intern Kylie with us.
Yes.
Who is overdue for a nap.
So overdue, but she will not lay down for an afternoon nap. Either I hold her and she sleeps and is good, or she gets laid down and screams.
And she isn't really she's kind of stingy with the coffee.
Yes.
Intern Kylie.
Yeah. Where's that coffee?
All right. Well, let's go ahead and jump into dusting off the degree. And this week we're going to do one that I've been wanting to do for quite a while. Just hadn't gotten around to it. And
First, we need to advertise the fact that Dustin is a secular atheist friendly officiant. In case you ever need to get married and need an officiant, Dustin can do that.
I feel like that's directed at me.
What?
You didn't know?
No.
Yeah, we had a judge do it and we told him no God stuff. All right.
Nice.
I charge extra to do God stuff.
Oh, that's a fair way to do it.
Actually, no, I just don't do God stuff.
He has them swear on top of the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
We were going to have a Viking wedding where we just get married and then somebody sets us on fire.
And with weddings,
is that how that goes?
The wedding vows are sealed with metal, or in your case, silicon.
Ow.
Not sworn on sacred objects.
Whatever. Right. Yeah. Oh, right. That's just how you get into Congress.
Yes.
Okay.
Hey, that's the second story, not the first. I read the show notes.
Prepared. Take that, Aaron.
Suddenly, I'm co-host. Has that been announced?
That has not been announced.
All right. We can edit that out.
Yep, I will.
Okay.
So, the Catholic orders are a bit bizarre to us nowadays, but that's because the concept is very old, and many of the orders are just as old. And it all dates back to the Crusades, with knights having their orders and the monks and priests who took the crusade also forming military orders. One such is the Order of Malta, or as it's formally called, the Sovereign Military Hospitaller Order of St. John of Jerusalem, of Rhodes, and of Malta.
That's a mouthful.
Yes, and it was founded by the Blessed Gerard in Jerusalem in 1099 CE.
Well, it doesn't have anything to do with Malta, the island.
It didn't at that point.
Oh.
At that point, it was just the Order of St. John.
Oh, okay.
I thought Malta was a demon.
It's an island in the Mediterranean.
Oh, is that where Malta meal comes from?
Malto meal? I don't think so. I think that comes more from Malta.
Oh,
malt.
My God. I will never see that the same again.
Yeah, well, go to Multnomah Falls after I've told the kids that it's called Malta Meal Falls.
That's amazing, and yes, that joke will be passed along to the next generation.
Yeah, but you can see this Malta meal that falls over is kind of runny because they added too much water like you do, Rory.
Okay. Yeah. Well, The Knights Hospitaller, as they were often called, are best known for being the most brutal of the Crusader armies. Like, seriously, the most brutal.
And they're called the Hospitaller?
Hospitallers.
They sound like they'd be the nicest one.
Well, we'll get there.
They tricked you.
Lauren is going to exit to take care of crying baby.
Baby break.
But they were, like, if you watch the movie The Kingdom of Heaven, the Knights Hospitaller are the ones that are constantly calling for killing the heathens because God wills it.
Oh, yeah. God's kind of a dick.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So after that, considering that they were very brutal, they would go into some of the stupidest fights and suffer some of the worst losses because they were so brutal. If you have a brutal army, your enemies are not likely to be nice to you.
Right. Yeah. They're not going to give you any breaks. They're going to be like, you're the one stuffing your boxing gloves full of horseshoes, you motherfuckers.
So they eventually figured out that if they created medical facilities, they could help heal soldiers so they wouldn't have to rely on so many new recruits.
Hey, there we go.
They have continued with that, founding the first hospitals from the name Hospitaller in Europe and many other parts of the world. And that is why there is such a connection between the Catholic Church and hospitals.
Oh, okay. That makes a lot of sense.
The first hospitals were explicitly Catholic. And hospitality also comes from that term.
Yeah.
They didn't stay incredibly brutal. After the Arabs finished their conquest of the Crusader states, the order moved its headquarters to the island of Malta, which it ruled from 1530 till 1798.
Whoa, that's a good run.
And technically that rule was subject to the Kingdom of Sicily, and they did have to pay the Kingdom of Sicily fees to have control of that island until they declared independence in 1753.
Okay.
Their 45 years of independence ended when Napoleon's armies landed, conquered the island, and drove them out. By 1820, most of their land holdings in Protestant countries in Europe had also been seized, and the order was fractured. Numerous treaties throughout the 19th and 20th centuries, including almost, in the 1820s even, have recognized them as a sovereign entity. They once ruled a sovereign country, they are still sovereign, and they are equal to a sovereign state.
So they're a sovereign state still?
Without a state.
Without a state.
They're a sovereign entity. They're a sovereign military order without a territory.
So they're like a diaspora of Malta?
In a way, like they were kind of, in a way, viewed as a government in exile.
Hmm.
That has since ended. They don't have any recognized or even make any claim to the island of Malta anymore. That is just a part of the current Republic of Italy, and they're just, they just continue to be them.
So they're actually like, are there officials, people that are like, the order exists, there are people that are the Order of Malta, and they just,
right. So they have two buildings in Rome that are considered extraterritorial, meaning Italian law does not apply.
Oh, so it's like the Vatican City.
Kind of like the Vatican. Okay. The Vatican actually has territory. Granted, it's like an acre, but it is defined territory.
Okay.
Malta has two buildings, more like embassies, but less so than an embassy because it's only inside of their headquarter buildings that extraterritoriality applies, whereas an embassy usually has some grounds around it that also apply.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird.
So if you're trying to escape Italian justice, you have to actually get in the building, not just on the grounds for this place.
Right, yeah. They also have diplomatic relations with 110 countries.
Can you murder somebody in one of those houses? I mean, I know you physically can, but...
I don't know.
You're right, this isn't dusting off the law degree in Rome.
Right. Most likely, if you were to murder somebody in an office building of the Order of Malta, they would probably arrest you and hand you over to the Roman authorities.
Oh, I see.
Or prosecute you themselves in their little... Yeah, I don't know what they would extradite for that.
Or if they would just swing like the Justice of Sword, you know.
Like, yeah.
How much of an order are they still?
They have diplomatic relations with 110 countries.
Wow, okay.
They issue passports, coins, stamps. They enter into treaties. And they have permanent observer status in the United Nations.
Oh, okay.
They also have a military.
So like three people?
It's questionable as to how many people are in the military because their military kind of exists alongside of and inside of Italy's military.
Okay, so like the Marines are actually part of the Navy.
Sort of, kind of like that, where they have, like the, when Italy wasn't allowed to have an air force after World War II, Italy gave their air force to the Order of Malta and transferred their air force personnel to being under the control of the Order of Malta, despite the fact they still reported to the Italian military.
Oh man, it sounds like a shell corporation.
A little bit, yeah. There are Italian military personnel who are part of the military of the Order of Malta, usually serving as medics and the like. And they operate a military hospital train throughout Europe that is sort of run by the Order of Malta, but they get operational support, a lot of it from the Italian army. And right. So it's kind of this weird thing where they have a military, but they don't, but they do, but they don't. They're kind of like a country, but they're not.
Yeah, it sounds like a training country, to be honest.
And there are currently 13,500 knights, dames, and auxiliary members. Until the 1990s, knight status required noble lineage, but they have since relaxed that requirement. Probably because they were starting to run out of people of noble descent who were interested in joining their organization.
Mm.
And they also employ 42,000 medical professionals and have 80,000 volunteers across 120 countries.
Yeah, they're doing all right.
Oh, yeah.
For a country that's two buildings wide.
Uh-huh. They are not only a major provider of medical services across Europe and other parts of the world, but they are one of the largest relief agencies that assist with natural disasters and providing medical care and humanitarian relief during wars. Most of their 1.5 billion euro annual budget is provided by the European Union, European governments, and the United Nations.
There you go. They get an allowance.
So, kind of like this weird cross of the Vatican, an old military order, and the Red Cross.
It sounds like they're perfect to be put in a Dan Brown novel.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. He generally goes with the Knights Templar, but that's just another order from the Crusades.
Gotcha. I want to see Templar versus Malta.
That's the next versus Hospitaller.
Versus Hospitaller.
Yeah.
See that one. Do that, Assassin's Creed.
But what's weird is you'll see news articles talk about the Order of Malta, and it ends up being really weird the way it's described because, yeah, they're kind of country-like, but they're not a country. They're, like, out of the list of kind of countries, they're the most not country-like of the kind of countries.
Hmm.
Like, the Vatican is kind of a country, but at least they have territory.
Right.
It's a very small amount of territory, but at least they have territory.
It's like a country with no land.
Yeah, yeah, it's bizarre.
It's like a condominium bizarre. Country. Like, the country's on the inside of the building, but the walls belong to the homeowners association.
Yeah, kind of like that. Yeah, it's weird. All right, well, it's time for news. According to Pew, 71% of U.S. adults identify as Christians. But in the new Congress that was just sworn in, it's 88.2% Christian.
Yeah, that's higher than reality.
Yeah, yeah. The good news is, though, this is down 2.5 points from the last Congress.
Okay, good trend.
So that's progress. And of note, there is still one person in Congress who is unaffiliated, and that is the now Senator Kyrsten Sinema. And there are now 18 who refuse to answer the question, up from 10 in the last Congress.
Mm.
And that includes Congressman Hunter from the Congressional Freethought caucus, who does identify as a humanist.
Sweet. That's awesome. That's great that there are people that can actually be out in Congress about a difference of religion.
But he just went with refusing the question.
Yeah, I like that one too.
Which 18 did. And the number of Unitarians have doubled from 1 to 2.
Doing good. Now they're duotarians.
W-U.
Yeah.
Double.
And I'm back.
It's also worth noting that there are that all but two Republicans in Congress are Christian, and those two are both Jewish.
Boy.
The token Jews for the Republican Party.
Right.
See last week's episode.
Or listen.
The entirety of the remaining 21.8% of non-Christians in Congress are Democrats. It's also worth noting that only Christians and Jews are overrepresented in Congress. Christians are slightly overrepresented. Judaism is overrepresented by 3 times. Mm. They are 2% of the population, but 6% of Congress. All other major religions, and of course, people of no religion, are underrepresented. And unaffiliated people are by far the most unrepresented.
Right.
Yeah.
No, like, real surprises there. It's more diverse than it was, but still the same.
Yeah, I've never felt a philosophical or connection of any way to most senators.
Right.
Until my big Congress crush now, Kristen Sinema. I think she's great. I only just learned about her like in the last couple of days, but I have a total huge like politics crush now.
Okay. Politically, she is one of the most conservative Democrats. She's more conservative than I think some Republicans. But she's a Democrat. She's openly not religious. Explicitly not an atheist.
Right.
But openly not religious. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's still cool.
And a good visual representation of LGBTQ in Congress.
Mm-hmm. She's the first ever openly bisexual senator.
Definitely not the first bisexual senator.
No. let's see. Tammy Baldwin was the first openly gay senator. I think the first openly gay senator to be elected while openly gay. There were some who got found out in right. office, often being paired with resignations.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, no. Back when sexual deviancy was considered a political career killer rather than an asset.
Rather than just like flavor text for the background of a candidate.
Right. Like realistically, what's worse? What should be considered worse, realistically? Getting peed on by Russian prostitutes or sticking your dick through a glory hole in an airport bathroom.
That's for Idaho.
That ended his career.
He didn't do it, though. He just was tapping for it.
Oh, that's right.
Wide stance.
Wide stance.
Now, was he tapping to put his dick through the hole?
No.
Or for the dick to come through? There wasn't?
There was no hole.
Oh.
It was just like a little signal. It's like, hey, into this?
Okay, tap and then go into the same stall.
Or meet up somewhere else. Right. But yeah, that's... There was no glory hole. There was no actual... He didn't actually do anything wrong.
No.
But it's still really fun to make fun of him because he was not a good person.
Right.
Most Idaho Republicans and most closet cases aren't good people.
And he forced an airport to have to redesign their bathrooms.
I have been to that bathroom.
Oh, yeah?
Uh-huh. I walked through the whole thing because they... Like, almost as soon as that was done... They tore out the bathroom and completely remodeled it, completely changed the configuration so that nobody can say that that's the stall.
Oh, gotcha. Well, there goes that check-in point on Facebook.
Yeah.
Larry Craig Memorial.
I still airport bathroom. Stall. I still did check in at that bathroom.
Oh, nice.
That was in 2012 on the way to the Reason Rally.
Nice. I've been to that airport, but it's usually I have 10 minutes between flights, so I've never been able to take it.
So you're
it
running.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, I was there for like 3 hours.
Oh, nice.
I had plenty of time to eat breakfast, have a couple Bloody Marys.
Tap around a little.
Wander around the bathroom.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were a bathroom tourist. That's. I really want to go traveling. This is not helping.
Sorry.
Oh, man. Oh, I miss airports.
So when Mike Pence swore in Kyrsten Sinema into the U.S. Senate, she placed her hand on a book of laws that she had checked out of the Library of Congress, which contains the text of both the U.S. and Arizona constitutions.
Cool.
Does it have the text of all the states' constitutions, or was that just a particular...
Well, she's from Arizona.
Well, yeah, but that seems kind of odd. It's like, U.S. and Arizona! It's like,
She's pandering to her Arizonians.
The update on it was that it was... Okay, so the initial report on it was that it was a book of Arizona laws.
Oh, okay.
And the update was it contains both the Arizona and U.S. constitutions.
Oh, okay. Well, probably because all of the state ones have the U.S. constitution in them as well. I get it right now.
So I'm not sure what...
That and Arizonans love to be pandered to.
So I'm not sure what's cooler here. The fact that she was able to check out a book of the from the Library of Congress, or that Mike Pence had to swear in an openly bisexual, non-religious person on a book of law.
I could just see her leaning forward. She said, see, I can get away with it.
Man, I bet his butthole was tighter than usual.
Yep.
Oh, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Our next president, Mike Pence. When Trump resigns.
How many months do you think it'll be?
I think it'll be this year. That's my guess.
I could have sworn it was going to be last year and was disappointed. And so I'm scared to even guess. Because it's like, oh, it's definitely going to be this year, and then I'll be disappointed again and cry.
Well, it depends on like the Mueller thing. Like if he uncovers,
depends on
like
the shutdown.
Yeah, like
holy
the
crap!
Shut,
if
like
this
all
goes
this
on
stuff,
much longer.
Like
I
could
tell
see
you.
Trump using a resignation from the presidency as like a chip to be used to bargain to like not be prosecuted or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Have to be.
Oh yeah, that's what I've seen some speculation on that.
Yeah. The shutdown is affecting way more people than was initially thought.
It affects my refund from my taxes. I'm going to raise hell. And by that, I mean raise
it
my taxes.
It will.
That's already been.
God damn it.
Yep.
That's already a done deal. It will delay tax refunds. It doesn't delay when your taxes are due.
No. Oh, God, no.
Yeah.
They want their money,
mm-hmm.
but they're not going to hand anything out until this is resolved.
Fuck.
So, yeah, I say burn it down.
Yeah.
Go raid Trump Towers for
is spray
all
on
the
tan
art.
Flammable.
That's funny. We didn't actually say that, but that's funny.
The Atheist Nomads does not condone acts of violence nor theft.
Burn it down.
Anyone who listens
nor
to
arson.
Me is an idiot.
Or vandalism. Arson. Seriously, yeah. Though, this is going to be like French Revolution kind of like. People are going to get sick of this.
We don't condone guillotines.
So some things
says
that
you
there's okay. So there's the hundreds of thousands of people that are almost a million people who aren't getting paid. Several hundred thousand of them have to work without
slave
pay.
Labor.
Right.
It's been announced that even when they do start getting paid, their pay raises they were promised are not going to happen. So you don't want to piss off the bureaucracy.
No,
that
and you
is
don't
not smart.
Yeah, and they're trying to keep them busy, but a lot of them are being sent home. And what happens when you have people who are unemployed sitting at home? They start to get in the streets, pitchforks.
Oh, right. Add to
and
it
torches or the freaking national parks because that's smart.
But to add to it, in the IRS is already affected. So tax refunds are going to be late. If this continues into February, food stamps will be affected.
Well, that's what happens if you don't want big government.
When you get a bunch of... So, see, one of the things that I think has slowed down the protests, if the poor people aren't hungry, they're less likely to protest. But if poor people are hungry, you get riots.
Yeah.
If you look at history... When the poorest people in the country, who often have some time on their hands, are hungry, they riot. And when you have hundreds of thousands of people who are out of work, with nothing to do, why not?
Right, yeah. There's not getting listened to. Yeah. And I'm sure Trump is going to handle that delicately.
He's already said that he's willing to let this go on for years.
Right.
Of course, everybody knows that that's not going to happen. He'll be assassinated before that happens, but
he's going to
definitely impeached.
He's Antoinette-ing right now.
It's really odd.
He's like, let them eat McDonald's. You can get things for like a dollar.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And hopefully government employees, banks will be forgiving with their late mortgage payments and credit card payments, and that the utilities will be forgiving with their late utility payments.
Oh, right, because he wrote a letter giving them a note to give to their utilities and stuff, saying, well, the president says I don't have to pay right now, so.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Anyway.
So after Satanists gave the invocation for the Kenai Peninsula Borough Assembly in Alaska, they changed the policy to only allow invocations for members of approved religious associations. That was back in 2016. They were sued. They lost. They chose not to appeal, knowing they would lose that. And they loosened up the policy. So now their calendar for 2019 is almost full, and a majority of the spots are filled by non-Christians.
They jumped on that.
Including Baha'i.
January 1st, Wicca, minute one.
Uh-huh. Baha'i, Wicca, Pastafarians, Satanists, and non-believers.
Nice.
The rule is now just that you have to be part of some kind of an association, which is vague enough to include if you're part of a Facebook group.
Hence the Pastafarians.
Or maybe there'll be somebody signing up who is a part of the group, Atheist Nomads, Patreon supporters.
There we go. Cast your invocation now.
Yes. Oh, that seems like a good group to be a part of.
Yeah, I'd say so.
If I had money,
cream of the crop,
would join.
The elite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Our supporters.
Maybe a nomad, but this is your home.
Aww.
I'm just trying to record bumpers.
Seriously,
on the
though,
slide.
If we catch any power being drawn from our house, we'll hunt you down.
You're listening to the Atheist Nomads with Lauren and Dustin.
Lauren, who's inexplicably angry and always saying burn things down, and Dustin.
All right. Well, this Alaskan thing, like, what is it? Like, I read the show notes, but I wasn't quite sure exactly what it was.
Okay, so since the, I don't remember who it was versus the town of Greece, Supreme Court ruling. That was the ruling, I think it was in 2014 or 2015, that explicitly allowed sectarian invocations in deliberative bodies, government deliberative bodies. The exception was school boards. Because if it involves kids, then it's a no. But if children are never required to attend, then you can, which means a pastor can get up and get very preachy. The ruling was also very clear that also means you have to allow non-Christians.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Now I'm super on board with this.
Right.
I don't know. I kind of want some preschoolers to do some invocations.
like a badly drawn pentagram in crayon. Oh, yeah.
It would be so cute. And my goldfish is named Blue, even though he's yellow, and I can count to five. One, two, five. Okay. Then gavel. And then it's like, yes.
Nice.
All right. Yeah.
Hail
Satan. That's my interpretation of what a preschooler sounds like.
So the way they a lot of different groups, legislative groups, deliberative bodies revised their policies in response to that ruling. The Kenai Borough was one of them, which allowed for explicitly sectarian, but not just restricted to Christian invocations. There were a lot of atheists and humanists who jumped on it, and a lot of Satanists jumped on it. And every time a Satanist did, it made the news, it got a lot of attention, and a lot of times it caused knee-jerk reaction changes in policy. And this was one of those. They went way too far in deciding that means only approved religious organizations can do it.
Yeah, which is like exactly what you're not supposed to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
like no. That's what they were trying to prevent.
Which obviously they knew they were going to get sued by doing that, and they did get sued.
Surprised it wasn't Idaho.
So now the policy is wide open. Anybody can do it. And I predict they will stop having invocations to their meetings before the end of the year.
Because most of these organizations do not need to even be having invocations.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody does. It's a stupid thing.
But now I want to know what a pastafarian invocation is if it actually involves pasta.
You wear a good one would. I imagine you wear a colander.
Uh-huh. And then there's calling for the flying spaghetti monster to
bless us with his noodly appendage, et cetera, et cetera.
And remember back
and
when
then throw pasta.
He made the mountains and some trees and a midget.
Is that part of
happy
it?
Happy trees.
Yeah. That's part of the creation myth for pastafarians.
Okay.
He created the mountains and some trees and a midget.
He kind of sounds like Bob Ross until that last one. Happy little trees. Happy little midget.
Happy little bowls of pasta.
But like when the Ada County Highway District proposed adding invocations to their meetings, because one of the things that ruling had was a lot of deliberative bodies that hadn't bothered having invocations decided they needed to jump on that.
Hell yeah.
And Ada County Highway District was one of them. Of course, the leaders of all the atheist groups in the area jumped on it. I wasn't able to attend, but I did write a very strongly worded letter.
Basically, oh, hell no.
My letter was... No, it was...
Oh, not you, of course. Yeah. No, yours would be all wordy.
I could see that being Dustin's signature line, though.
But that would be mine. No, oh, hell no.
Mine was basically, this is a really bad idea because you're going to be opening up chaos. Because if you're going to do this and you're going to do this compliantly, you're going to have to accept everyone.
Right. And some people worship chaos.
Including
which
me.
Which means
here's
if you're going
text.
To do this, I will be signing up to do an invocation.
And you don't want that.
And now we begin our invocation
talking.
Of Nerf battle.
I also made it clear that boop. If they did it wrong, that they would... They could expect to be sued. And
that was my sound effects of a Nerf battle, by the way.
Just like this, the desperate need for a soundboard is what I hear.
So what's,
are you editing me out?
No.
Okay, good.
So one thing that was funny with that, though, was they passed it, and then the next meeting repealed it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because after they passed it, almost all of the employees of the Ada County Highway District said, please don't do this.
It was one dude.
One of them wrote me back.
Ooh.
He was an employee of it and was like, yeah, we don't want this. We're sorry.
You should have leaked that to the newspaper.
Could you please send another letter? And I did.
Nice.
It was fun.
Here's my sample text. I have a goldfish. His name is Blue.
I would just send ipso lorem, like that fake filler text.
Ipso lorem, ipso lorem.
That should be the atheist nomad invocation.
E pluribus anum.
Lorem ipsum. Mila cudis.
Clatu barada nicto.
E pluribus unum.
Okay, so this next one is a update to a story we previously talked about.
Hell yeah, update!
Whoop whoop!
The Roman Catholic bishops across the U.S. have gathered in the Chicago area at a seminary that has now been closed to the public for the event.
Boo!
What? I love those things.
Gotta love it when a bunch of creeps get together and then close doors.
The bishops only were allowed. So, like, even the seminarians had to leave, I believe. The press were not allowed.
My skeptical sense is tingling.
And they started it. Well, the initial plan for it was to talk about solutions to the clergy sex abuse scandal.
Oh,
probably
good.
Not from the viewpoint of preventing it.
So when they announced that...
How do we better cover this up?
The response they got from the Vatican was... No,
I believe it was, ah, hell no.
You know what? St. Francis is pretty cool.
He's
or whatever.
He's a polished turd.
Yeah, but he's got that social media image. Like you could see him sharing a meme.
Still a turd.
Yeah.
The only thing that separates him from the last guy is he looks less like Emperor Palpatine.
That's true.
That guy was really creepy.
Yeah, that is.
But you know that guy's fiddled some kids, so it's like.
But the meeting was supposed to be to look at solutions to how to address this. The Vatican gave them basically, you can't do that because they're having a meeting in February to talk about it. And so they can't come up with solutions before the higher ups do. And secondly, the Vatican didn't have time to look at their proposed solutions. So they can't offer any of the solutions. The bishop that was organizing this was appointed by Pope Francis, and the meeting is being chaired and run by the Pope's personal pastor. All they have done over the course of this meeting is fast and pray.
Yeah, that's like the opposite of what my weekend is like.
It was about prayer, not policy making.
Yeah, well, their hands were tied, for one. They couldn't do anything because the boss said so. So what do you do?
Was it a government shutdown?
Yeah.
They could only pray?
Yep. I would say that's the equivalence.
Yeah, the bishops, yeah, they're going to be hungry and pray.
All right. Good for them. What a waste of time. Typical. We'll see the same thing next month.
I really hope the Vatican does something better. I really expect I'm going to be sorely disappointed.
Yep.
Can't they just like assassinate anybody who abuses a child?
Or at least turn them over to the local cops?
Or get that one guy that was whipping himself in the Dan Brown code.
There we go.
Okay, so that's the second Dan Brown reference, and he hasn't given us any money to be talked about on the show.
I don't even know who he is. An author, right?
Yeah.
I think he's like Tom Hanks' Da Vinci pseudonym.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a lot of Catholic stuff today, and I think about that stuff.
Like, okay, I haven't seen it, read it, done anything with that yet.
I don't know. I think I saw some reference to Dan Brown. It's just in my head.
I thought he was the Left Behind guy.
Oh, you know what it was? It's because my girlfriend / now wife
was showing me
something that she almost got me for Christmas, and it was one of those like Da Vinci like puzzles that are tubes that you can hide stuff in. So that's why I'm thinking about Dan Brown stuff.
You're just stuck.
I'm like, I want to go on some weird.
But she didn't get it for you.
No, she didn't get it for me.
So now you're obsessing about it.
Like, no, I probably wouldn't have done anything with it, but still, like, it's in my head.
You know, Dan Brown wrote the Da Vinci Code. Tim LaHaye wrote Left Behind.
And Nicolas Cage starred in the movie
National Treasure.
Yeah, he was in National Treasure.
And Left Behind.
And Left Behind.
Oh, was he in Left Behind?
Tom Hanks
was. Yeah.
Tom Hanks was the star of Da Vinci Code.
And this is all a very important stuff.
And FedEx commercial, the movie.
Oh, wow.
Well, it'll get there eventually.
It will get there.
That's
Wilson!
I wonder how much FedEx had to pay for, or if they even had to pay.
Was it product placement? Now I need to know. Patreon listeners, you have time on your hands, right?
Yeah, totally. They got nothing else to do.
Don't know why. I'm not going to roast your Patreon listeners.
Yeah, please don't.
You guys rock.
We like them.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they do.
You guys make this show happen.
Especially Jimmy Nine Toes.
I love that name.
Jimmy Nine Toes.
Okay.
Somebody in West Jordan, Utah.
Oh my God, here we go.
Spray painted Joseph Smith was a pedophile on a sound barrier wall next to a highway.
Yes. Sorry. Oh, I mean, no.
Yeah, that is funny. That's like Monty Python level funny.
That's it makes me wonder, was it a local or was it somebody passing through?
Was it Banksy?
I'm willing to bet it was a local teenager.
Oh, I'm guessing local.
Yeah.
And I'm going to guess older than a teenager.
Oh?
Oh, yeah.
Why? Because it was painted pretty high up on the sound barrier?
Because the person was tall?
It's pretty perfectly centered on the barrier.
Oh, so it's somebody who took some time to have a little aesthetic.
And the handwriting quality is very good for spray painting.
Wow.
It's not graffiti style, but those, like, you wouldn't get much better with a stencil.
There's a garbage can full of stencils that were discarded after this.
That's awesome. Like a superhero costume.
Gonna paint some happy little pedophile at the end of the sentence.
Some dedication.
To be fair, what this is referencing is
the fact that Joseph Smith was a pedophile.
The fact that Joseph Smith had between 30 and 40 wives, and one of them was the age of 14.
Jeez, I just barely got my first wife.
Yeah. And think about how much work that was. You really want to put that into...
Took like 5.5 years before she finally asked me.
Well, that's why you get them young.
Yeah, most of Joseph Smith's were between 20 and 40 when they got sealed. The oldest was 56. The youngest was the daughter of one of his closest friends. And just before her 15th birthday, they were sealed.
Yeah, sounds pedophilic.
It sounds like this guy just wanted to fuck girls.
Now, it
doesn't matter.
That was legal at the time.
To fuck girls.
To marry a 14-year-old.
Gross.
It would have been unusual for a woman to get married that young, but not unheard of.
Not unless there's a shotgun involved.
But puberty tended to be a bit later. So that almost sounds like they waited right until puberty, and then he probably jumped her.
Either that or he was doing his friend a favor. He was rich.
True. Now, they do also make the claim, because the Mormon Church is no longer denying that this happened. Excuse me, the church formerly known as the Mormon Church, not to be confused with former Mormons.
Oh, yeah, they're rebranding, right? It's now the Church of Latter-day Jack Mormons.
Yeah, yep. They say that this, as was found in the way that Helen wrote about it herself, was that it was for eternity alone, meaning there was no sex.
That's better.
That he would just be fucking her in heaven.
Wow, that should be like a song.
That's definitely one of those, like, maybe 70s rock.
I'm gonna fuck you in heaven.
You're going for country twang there. That makes kind of creepy.
I didn't mean to. It's just in my genetics.
Now, I think it just seems incredibly bizarre that somebody who already has 30 to 40 wives would take on another that he's not going to fuck. Like, the whole Mormon doctrine of polygamy was just so Joseph Smith could fuck more women than just his wife.
Well, maybe this one was just like a babysitter. Like, she's 14. Give her a couple of bucks. You can stay up late. Just make sure the kids from the other 30 wives go to bed on time. All right?
Oh, man.
And at least this way, if I flirt with the babysitter, it's not as bad. These are not my opinions.
Yeah, yeah.
These are my perceived Joseph Smith opinions.
Okay. The way I would think that one would go down, she's just the babysitter. Wink, wink.
Oh.
Yeah, the one that you leave out some... wine coolers for.
Oh my god.
And then you get home and wife goes to bed and you have to pay the babysitter.
Wait, is that the one where he, like, Joseph Smith shows up to get married to the 14-year-old and then Chris Hansen steps out and he's like, so what are you thinking? What's going on here?
What did you think was going to happen?
You messaged her that you were going to take her and get sealed in eternity.
Apparently, she literally asked for it.
Did you write that you were going to fuck her
in
heaven?
There was that.
Is this your word, sir?
Oh my god, that show.
So, the two critiques I have of the different parts of the story is, one, the Mormon Church is full of bullshit. There's no way Joseph Smith would have not fucked her. And two, fucking a teenager is not pedophilia.
There's that point. There is that point that... prepubescent is the line, and at 14 she was... I have seen 14-year-olds that do not look 14. They look adult. So I doubt she was prepubescent. But
it is wrong by today's
factor.
Yeah, it's creepy. It's wrong by modern standards. And Joseph Smith was definitely a creep.
There's so many other things that are wrong with him. It's still hilarious that somebody wrote that on the side of a highway, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would have preferred Joseph Smith was a fraud, but that's not going to turn as many heads. So this one wins for head turning.
This one was thinking about retweets.
Yes.
This one, we got to think about viral messages.
If you can get onto the friendly atheist, you're good to go. If retweets were cash money, you'd be set.
Yeah, give me my Twitter dollars. I got 12 likes on a status update.
Recently. More than I've ever gotten. Sorry, Twitters.
The Mormon Church has also made some changes in the temple ceremonies.
What's going on there?
They are using more inclusive language.
Oh, that's...
Applying some additional gender equality and adding more lines for Mother Eve. And by more lines, some lines.
Yeah. Okay, so which is a huge deal. There have been a lot of women who have been stuck in the Mormon Church who are unhappy with the fact that women are treated like shit in the Mormon Church. So this is at least, you know, something for those women to like hold on to. They're like, look, they finally recognize us as something to be worth, you know, mentioning. Mm-hmm. Right. And it doesn't make up for, you know, all the other crap that they have to deal with. But I applaud it.
Yeah,
it's stepping in the right direction for.
Yeah, you know, I'm not going to be mad. I'm like, oh, you let women talk.
They just don't let them talk enough.
Yeah,
it's still just like there's baby steps and then there's this fraction of that. But OK,
still got a long way to go in the world at large and understanding mm-hmm. that gender is a construct. There are biological differences between the sexes, but the things that people are capable of doesn't have to be defined.
Yeah.
Oh, this isn't even getting close to recognizing transgender women as legit.
Right.
This is just, you're born with a vagina. Okay, you're related to Eve. That's cool. And then that's pretty much it.
Yeah, and they officially stated that, quote, or that the temple ceremonies have, quote, been adjusted periodically, including language, methods of construction, communication, record keeping. Prophets have taught that there will be no end to such adjustments as directed by the Lord to his servants. End quote. The Mormon Church has not figured out that present truth is bad for a church. The Adventist Church had a lot of fun with that in the 18th century. And present truth kind of died.
And what does that mean?
The concept that God's truth changes as he reveals more nuanced truth throughout time.
Black people aren't bad. Uh-huh. You can let them in the church. Wink, wink.
Mormons have kept that open and fluid, which is kind of fascinating because it means anything can change.
Well, it also means that God doesn't have future plans and or he has a major fallacy.
Now, most likely it means that the church is going to change the bare minimum possible and be drug kicking and screaming, but
which is what we see.
At least they can change.
Yeah, that's true. I can change, baby.
Come on. Yeah, baby. Come on. I can change. Come on, baby.
My present truth is different.
And we don't talk about Hinduism very often, but the Indian Supreme Court has ruled that a Hindu temple has to stop excluding women.
Nice.
Oh, there we go.
Like this temple literally had prohibited for centuries women between the age of 10 and 50 from entering the temple.
Okay, so yeah, any woman who is menstruating.
Because of the chance that they might be menstruating when they walk in.
Oh, geez.
And that would defile the temple.
Yeah, people are really, really obsessed with that.
Well, why don't they just give them a period cup?
Or let them exercise their own discretion?
Right.
Uh-huh. Like
they have minds of their own.
Like
what?
Say that, okay, please don't come when you're menstruating. The rest of the time, you're welcome. That would be a step in the right direction.
We fear your powerful magic.
But instead, the
fear my uterus, for it is powerful magic.
Oh, this gets bigger. So in response, there were two women who entered the shrine. They had to sneak in at night with the help of some of the guards. There are police lined up out front to keep this from getting bad. There have been riots that have killed people over this.
Wow.
Because they think the Supreme Court ruled incorrectly.
Whoa.
and women formed a 385-mile-long wall across the country.
Wow.
Yeah. The two women that entered the temple, and as far as we're aware, they are the only women who have entered this temple, are in hiding because they feared for their lives.
Wow.
It's hard to battle centuries of tradition.
Mm-hmm. But the protests have gotten big enough that they've had to use tear gas and water cannons to separate demonstrators on both sides. And India's ruling Hindu Nationalist Party has been trying to keep this ban in effect. And it's their members who are part of the protest against the ruling.
So this whole country is up in arms about letting women enter the temple.
Yeah.
And it's that bad. This is insane.
Well, nobody said that India wasn't misogynistic.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So this will be fascinating.
I want to see how this plays out. See what happens. And like the fact that this battle happens over and over again all around the world.
Mm-hmm. And in Belgium, with the new year, okay, Belgium, for those of you who don't know, is a kind of two countries within a country. Half of it's Dutch and half of it's French, which has resulted in the scenario where new rules have gone into effect as of January 1st in Flanders, but won't go into effect until August 1st in Walloon.
And those are two different Belgian territories?
Yeah. These new rules were passed unanimously in the Belgian parliament. And it prohibits both kosher and halal slaughter methods.
Oh, right.
The way it does that is by not allowing for an animal to be slaughtered before it's been stunned. Judaism and Islam both require the animal be alive and conscious when it's hung up by its hind feet and its throat is slit.
Oh, and that gives me anxiety. Like, ever since Braveheart when I was 13. Because, like, they took Mel Gibson's wife and that one and just, like, slit her throat on screen.
Wow. Yeah.
And just, like, ever since then, I'm just like...
Must have blocked that one out.
So, with this, they're going to be joining Germany and a couple other European countries.
So, it sounds like a yay for animal rights. It has nothing to do with animal rights. They're using animal rights to make other religions uncomfortable and... I don't know.
Where do you draw the line with religious freedom and prohibiting archaic barbarism?
I don't know. I guess technically you should leave it up to the governments to figure that out. But Europe is incredibly Islamophobic right now. So everything that they do is suspect.
So like this is similar to Iceland's prohibition that's going into effect on... non-medically indicated circumcision for minors.
Right.
Barbaric practice that is archaic.
Right.
And it is being prohibited because it is barbaric and archaic. Is this different?
Well, if it's one of those things where, like in the U.S., it's become a sweeping default for no particular reason.
Oh, it's because John Harvey Kellogg wanted boys to not masturbate.
Right.
My circumcision never stopped me.
Absolutely have the right to, you know, prohibit it. But if it's a subset of the population that is going to be doing it, that's a very small percentage for a particularly religious reason. To me, that just sounds anti-Semitic, and that they're just covering it up under false pretenses. That makes sense?
Yeah.
Like, it's at your discretion. Kind of thing. You don't need to prohibit it. You just don't make it the default.
Heightened scrutiny because it's a minority. And like in Iceland, the only people who do circumcisions routinely are their very small Jewish community.
Hmm. So to me, it's suspect. You know, what draws the line between public health and straight up anti-Semitism or anti-Islam? Now,
yeah, and like, is it actually just they don't want to wreck your Jovax when they circumcise kids?
And then what about with female genital mutilation?
Now, that one is weird, because, like, I think it should be stopped, but, like, there's so many people that are, that say that that's not being sensitive to their culture, and it's a culture of female genital mutilation in a lot of African countries and in the diaspora across America.
People don't die from male circumcision, usually.
That's true.
Yeah. But if you do...
There's also four stages of female mutilation. Uh-huh. And stage one is very similar to the male circumcision.
Yep.
And it doesn't cause lifelong debilitating pain or anything. Then there's stage four that could kill you.
Which what usually ends up happening in the Western world, in the diaspora from African and other parts of the Islamic world where it spread to, it tends to just be that the one that's most like male circumcision version of it. A slight clipping of the clitoral hood.
Which still sucks, but I get... it still sucks and shouldn't be done because all religious stuff is bullshit.
Yeah, I wrote a paper about FGM.
Yeah.
What I landed on is I was like, I don't think it can be banned, but I think that everybody should be educated and make it optional.
So I go with a simpler model on it. Humans have a right to bodily autonomy.
Right.
And children should not be deprived of that. If a woman, when she turns 18, wants to get her clitoral hood cut or a more severe genital mutilation, that's her choice as a consenting adult. If a boy wants to get circumcised at 18, that's his choice as a consenting adult. I don't think parents should have the right to do that any more than they should have the right to decide to not give their kid antibiotics for pneumonia.
Or pierce their kid's ears.
I think, to be fair, that also needs to extend to piercings and tattoos on children. When you're 18, you can do it.
Okay, so you think that there should be an age where they're considered an adult, and at that point they can make any decision, but up till then they can't and their parents can't.
It's the argument of child's rights, which is it's hard to talk about openly in the U.S. Right. In particular, because this parental rights thing is so strong. The parent has the right to raise their kid how they want, whether that's what the kid wants or not,
or whether it makes measles pop up in Disneyland
now
or New Jersey.
I actually kind of like that this is being extended to, like, people are actually thinking about animal rights as well, because if we're going to be creating and raising a large number of animals for the sake of eating them, it should be done in the most humane way possible.
I agree.
Yeah.
And if you can't handle the most humane way possible, you should become a vegetarian.
Yes. That's what it comes down to, is if you're not allowed. Yeah. If you can't do it humanely, then don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, that's perfectly allowable.
And for the Jewish community, the amount of money they'll save on not eating meat will be enough that they can buy some lamb for Passover and have it shipped from another country where kosher slaughter is allowed. It's a simple solution to the problem. And I don't have any problem.
Of course, we still chowed down on that turkey a couple weeks ago. No problem.
And I am all for turkeys being raised and slaughtered in a humane way. And since I can't visit all the farms, I'm happy for government regulation to take care of that.
Right. Yeah. It's not like going to be Portlandia where you go and visit the commune and live there.
That's what his brother wants.
No, he just doesn't want animals to be killed.
Right.
Unless they're fish.
Peas or beans. Is that what he said?
Something like
things
that.
That our holiday meal could just as easily be peas and beans.
Yeah.
No, turkey was freaking amazing.
It was.
You don't know. Spatchcock, people. Spatchcock.
I can't give up meat. I never be able to.
Well, I would not do well.
Well, we have the added issue of Lauren's allergic to mushrooms and I'm allergic to most nuts.
Hello, all the fillers that everybody... Right.
There goes most vegetarian proteins.
Oh, yeah, no kidding.
So we're either... I'm eating all the mushrooms and she's eating all the nuts, or we're fucked.
Spatchcock.
The same time, I do also agree that these rules in the current era of crazy right-wing bullshit are concerning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I can take issue with the right thing done for the wrong reason.
I know. This is where you start banging your head against the walls. I don't know. Why can't everybody just give up on this crap? And
yeah, I don't know.
All right. Well, it's time for some feedback.
Yeah.
All right. So I have now closed the survey.
Dun,
so
dun, dun.
Don't try to leave feedback on the survey. But if you do want to reach us, you can email us at contact@atheistnomads.com. Call us at 541-203-0666. Or go to atheistnomads.com/speakpipe and click the button and record it from your computer or phone.
You sound like a robot except for the burp in the middle.
Or tweet me and I'll forward it. That'll drive my clout score.
Yeah, okay, there's also Twitter at atheistnomads. There's a Facebook
twit
page.
Twit at us.
Facebook.com/atheistnomads. There are lots of ways to get a hold of us.
You can spray paint on the sound barriers in Boise, Idaho, and we'll see it.
Yeah, we'll see it.
I actually don't commute by any of those, so I don't know that I would.
I got
somebody
back,
would
boo.
Let us know. Oh, there we go.
Anyway, but we still have
network.
We have enough additional survey responses because you guys were awesome after finding out the deadline was coming up and a whole bunch of people left responses. So we've got enough responses for this week and next week. And then I'll be able to get to the interesting demographics after that. So I'm going to milk this for all I can.
Oh, yeah. No kidding.
So first off, we got for what people like about the show. Dustin Off the Degree segment, news and events updates, and your comedian friends.
That's me.
That's you.
The degree to which you weave local/regional issues and personal aspects of your lives into the podcast adds context and humanizes things nicely.
Spatchcock.
Yeah, I like that about most shows, too. Like, if it can be... I mean, if there's a local level to some of the talk, that's interesting from an outsider perspective, because I always like to listen to people talk about different LA real estate areas.
I do get a little tired of LA, New York, but that's okay, because I'd rather have it than not have it.
Yeah, and there's a balance to it, too.
Nobody ever hears about the Intermountain West.
I've listened to a podcast that they were spending the first 10 to 15 minutes talking about their local events. That was a huge turnoff because I don't live there. I'm not going to be visiting any of these events, and I don't need to hear a whole bunch of advertisements for local events that are getting drug out that long. Weaving in local news doesn't have that issue because we talk about news.
Yeah.
Right.
If it's local, we're likely to have a little additional understanding of what's going on, but
yeah, so what you'll get works. Is a deeper perspective from people that have to live with what's going on in that news story.
Yeah.
So next up, I learned much about the culture of the Pacific Northwest states.
It's called Boise.
Wow. Yep.
Uh-huh. Boise is the city, the capital and largest city of Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
To our west is the state of Oregon. Pronounced just like the ones in your body.
No, there's an E in there. Oregon, not Oregon.
It's pronounced Oregon.
Yeah, and their newspaper is the Oregononium.
That's the Oregonian. A person from Oregon is an Oregonian.
I used to say Idaho, like people from Idaho are Idahoans.
Idahoans,
threw my mom off forever. She's like, okay, you're 16. You've grown up here. Why are you saying Idahoan? I'm like, isn't that what it's called? And they're like, no. Where's the I? I'm like, well, shut up.
I just want it to be like cellular biology, and then you'll have Oregon, and then you'll have organelles.
Yeah. That's what they should call counties.
There you go. Organelles. Oh. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
This is the the county seat is the powerhouse of the cell.
Who's the new Oregon governor?
Kate Brown.
There we go.
The first openly bisexual governor.
Hell yeah. Oregon's hot.
Okay. Cool.
Bisexual women are making the rise in politics.
And I just love how they said Pacific Northwest, because we are barely in that. I mean, just, it's a stretch.
No, it says Northwest states.
Oh, okay.
So Northwest includes Idaho. Pacific Northwest excludes Idaho, generally.
You can make the argument that Moscow, Lewiston, and Boise are all in it, though. Coeur d'Alene is.
Mm.
But, you get past but, that, and it's pretty much, no, we're definitely into the Intermountain Desert.
But if you're just saying the Northwest states, then yes, all of the former Oregon Territory is generally part of the Northwest states. Unless you're talking about the Northwest states from maybe New York, in which case they might be talking about the Midwest.
I just want to know what we'd be called if we were a country in Red Dead Redemption.
Ooh.
That's 1880s?
Yeah, the newest one is 1899, and then the first one was set in 1910, 1911.
Oh. Well, by that point, we'd just be the state of Idaho.
Well, and like in game, though, like they have like New Elizabeth and Hanover and that kind of stuff. Like stuff that's relevant to those areas.
Yeah. Snake River.
Snake River. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then above that would just be the mountains.
Yeah. Snake River and mountains.
Which would include Montana. Well, part of Montana. Anyway.
Good part of Montana.
Big sky country. It's next the up, same amount of sky.
Next up we got, I appreciate you address topics that I think about. Current events from the atheist perspective is very relevant to me. You give me words and tools to use in discussions I have with friends and colleagues. Thank you for your hard work.
The vocabulary is incredibly important.
Take a drink every time you heard the word diaspora on this episode.
This is an effect of the show that I have never thought about. So thank you.
It's like when you first get into you're a new atheist and you want to be able to argue with everybody. And so you have to learn all the different types of logic and fallacies and stuff. Like I never got into that stuff because it was too much for me. But you have to learn the vocabulary in order to throw that in somebody else's face later.
Yeah, like you want to learn to be able to be like, you're just using pro hoc ergo propter hoc reasoning.
Yeah, and those people get punched in the face. Yeah. But their point still stands.
There's a lot of people that use their understanding of fallacious reasoning wrong, especially when you first learn about it. And I had a communications teacher who taught a class called Reasoned Discourse at Boise State, and he taught all the fallacies, but he also gave us the warning that to a child with a hammer, the entire world is a nail. So don't take this new tool and start ruining your relationships.
Oh, man. That happened with the Northwest Freethought Conference where I was on the planning committee, and the discussion was, do we cancel the conference? This was going to be, the fifth one. Up to that point, there had only been three because the second one had already been canceled. So the first, third, and fourth happened, and the fifth was going to be canceled. And that was because they didn't want to dip into either the main organizer's chunk of the money or their reserve funds they were holding on to. And I made the statement that if you cancel this, then you're going to be demonstrating that there's only a 60% chance that a conference you announce will happen. No one will come, and this, you just won't have any more.
It's just bad business.
And I got called on that being a slippery slope fallacy.
Except it's not.
And that's when you flip the table and leave.
At which point I said, we're not talking about logical argumentation. We're talking about human psychology and confidence. That's different.
Human behavior is not related at all to logic.
And there hasn't been another Northwest Freethought Conference.
Weird.
Yeah.
I guess it slid down that slippery slope you made.
Yeah.
But you know,
and now you can marry horses.
I'm glad we give you words and tools that you can use. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's excellent. Especially when you're coming up and trying to develop yourself as a more reasoned individual.
Mm-hmm. And there's that concept that you just can't quite explain to the other person.
It's ideas that you have and like you feel like the heir of them, but then like you hear somebody give a very good use of it and suddenly it like turns into a tangible tool and you're like, I suddenly understand what I thought about this and I can use it now.
Yeah, I remember the first time when I figured out what cognitive dissonance was.
Oh, hell yeah.
That was like, that's everything. Oh my God.
Cognitive dissonance, that just blew my mind. I can't even put it together with what I already know.
Podcast too.
Next we have good chemistry even with guests, and I enjoy learning what has happened in the news and about other religious beliefs.
Yeah, the only time we didn't have good chemistry with a guest was when they were openly Republican.
She thought it was good enough that she wanted to post it on her own YouTube channel.
Ballsy.
Yeah.
Was it like an episode of Parks and Rec where Leslie and Ron are at ends?
Yeah. Kinda.
Only if
But not hilarious.
Leslie was calling Ron a racist.
I'm into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you like our little Ron Swanson plaque up there? He's liking
but,
it.
No, it's being able to quickly develop chemistry with guests is, that's something I've learned. It took work. It took
it comes naturally practice. To me. I don't know what that, whatever. It helps
some people. It's a social. It's a social skill. It is something you can improve.
Yes, it helps. It. We get comedians who have a sense of humor because they're great.
And with the interviews, it's easy to do because everybody likes to talk about themselves, and it's really easy to make somebody happy when you're asking them questions about themselves and giving them an opportunity to talk about themselves.
Yeah.
And with comedians, they just like to talk. So it there just works.
Yeah. Like I don't really like to talk about myself that much. In fact, I'm my least interesting subject.
Mm-hmm. So you're not a self-deprecating comedian?
No, I started off with a lot of self-deprecation, and it's stuff that I need to shed and move on to. Focusing more on like what's going on in the world around me, because like a lot of my opening stuff and stuff that I still used even at I tend to fall back on it when I'm not sure what else is going on. Mm-hmm. Which is what happened at the casino gig.
Like, well, if all
doing.
Else fails, I can at least use this.
I'm like, hey, here's some jokes about how I'm fat.
Yeah. You drunk in the back, you got that.
Oh yeah, I'm like, yeah, my physics jokes aren't gonna go over well, so hey, ain't it weird to be unattractive and trying to get laid?
See, I'm applauding.
All right, next one we got is relaxed, unenforced, informative, and relevant. While you deserve every penny, the show doesn't feel like you are chasing the almighty dollar with it. It feels a lot more like a genuine passion project that you should get paid for.
Yes.
But it's more about the community and the dialogue. That makes yours refreshingly original podcast format. Imperfectly human.
And we're definitely working on the community bit.
Yes. Got some ideas. And we'll see what we can make
And I'll
happen.
Stop posting stuff to just Twitter and actually post stuff to Facebook as well, because...
Right.
Lauren, that's not how you post things.
Yeah, my wife is talking to me about how to use social media better because she's trying to do that with her job. So she's like, we can... We'll do something cohesive for your social media strategy. And I'm like, fuck, it's turning into a business.
Yep.
Damn it.
And so...
You know, it's not fun anymore.
The relaxed, unforced, and informative, thank you. That's awesome. I like that it's relevant. We try to keep it relevant. And as far as the money, that's mostly because I really suck at begging.
He really does.
If I was better at begging, but I'm not.
I'm just imagining you as like a street person with like a sign. It's like...
Street urchin.
You know what? I'd take a quarter.
What do you got in there? Is that a dollar? You know what? Go buy yourself something. Uh-huh.
We'll dust off the degree for food.
We have pizza.
And for the last one we've got, enjoy the interviews. Enjoy a show with a female co-host.
Thank you.
Good job, Lauren.
I told you, this uterus has power.
That hoo-ha. Is all the hubbub.
It's got a perspective.
Hoorah.
Hoorah.
And for what can be improved, we got from this listener's perspective.
Oh, how dare they.
Lauren's undying passion for a soundboard is far funnier and more enjoyable than actually getting and employing a soundboard. Please don't turn your podcast into the morning zoo.
Wah, wah. You're hired. Oh, man. I get it.
Uh-huh.
I'm still going to fight for it, though.
Bark, 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 bark.
If you wake up this baby, I will be so pissed.
You guys had chickens, she'd be used to it.
Okay, the next one is both baby and soundboard related.
Can we get chickens?
Add happy baby noises to the incipient soundboard.
Yes. Well, she's kind of passed out now.
Uh-huh. And your relationship status choices omitted widowed, which better describes me than single. I am sorry, that was incredibly insensitive of me to not include that. I was trying to put as many options as possible, and I missed that one. I'm sorry.
Yeah, when you're designing a survey, unless you're basing it off of another one that you admire, if you're trying to come up with the stuff off the top of your head, I think most people would probably understand why we'd miss one.
Right.
Yeah, sorry. We appreciate you mentioning it, though. That's an important demographic.
Oh, there's another demographic angle that I realized I missed when I was trying to figure out what's our average podcast listener. I completely missed race and nationality.
Yeah. That was actually one of the ones that you wanted to find out, wasn't it? Like, one of the reasons why you did this whole thing is to add it.
And I forgot to figure out if are all of our listeners white. And nope, I don't know.
Well, maybe it's best not to know. We can assume that they're not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that would actually be really disheartening if we found out that they were all white.
I know.
That would kind of break my heart a little bit. Just a little bit.
That was kind of some of my fear.
If you add a future survey, can you add that little clip from Mean Girls? It's like, you can't just ask people if they're white.
Yes.
Oh. And then we got, I can't think of anything at the moment. Thank you again for your hard work.
You're welcome. I put it all out there.
We got, I don't have issues with the show. However, when reading the question, I thought you were asking if the show could be improvised. The answer to that question is no.
Oh, God. Yes. That's what the soundboard is all about.
I mean, I don't think of what I say before I say it.
I never have, and it's worked out well for me.
I call it extemporaneous, and people sound impressed. Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty good fake word.
We even did one.
Is it a word?
Yeah, it means improvised in the spur of the moment.
Oh, Jesus.
Like an extemporaneous speech is how Trump talks, which is not the best example.
Yeah.
But he does not prepare that shit.
No, he does not. He's not reading off of a piece of paper.
There's a variation to how improvised it is, but most of the comments are, it's not scripted.
When it goes off the rails, you know that that was not planned.
Yeah, it's because it was a boring
story.
When
Dustin sounds like a robot,
just kidding.
Which he did for a while. He was reading his show notes straight off. It was like...
A robot host would appeal to a lot of atheist people, though.
I know. I have been pushing for that as well.
This is Skeptabot 6000, and we are checking in on Reddit.
And then for the final one this week, we got, I'm in Utah, but of Central European roots, so I always look for international perspectives. Learning about the religious tax in Germany is the kind of goofy shit information I could enjoy more of.
It makes you laugh and go, ha ha!
Dustin, Europe. Do you have a goofy shit info that you could just spout off right now? Don't think. Speak. Edit out the thinking
he
later.
Can't do that. He's
no.
Nope. There is one more, actually.
See, the show's not improvised.
We got the email from our friend Chuck.
Oh, Chuck. What's up, yeah. Chuck?
Hey, Chuck. FYI, the survey did not work on Safari on my iPhone.
Oh, man.
It may impact your response. I use my PC. Love the podcast. Love the variety in your guests. Keep that up. This old straight white male has learned a lot from your podcast and a couple of others. Thanks, Chuck.
Nice.
Thank you, Chuck, for the email. I'm sorry that Dustin did not see it.
I did.
It gave me an opportunity to read something on the microphone, though, so that was cool.
I did see it. I just forgot to put it in.
Well, yeah. I remembered. And for those of you that responded about the potential retreat that I think it's going to go.
What's happening here?
I think we're going to get ourselves, some of our guests, and a couple of listeners to go camping.
Yeah.
Sometime.
It is going to look like it will probably be camping. We'll probably be looking at whatever weekend we can book a group site at, and the location, exact location, will probably be dependent on what exact site we can get a weekend for.
Which, if we start now, we could probably get whatever we want.
But actually, we'll need to wait until the government shutdown is over, most likely.
Oh, yeah, right, by the way.
Yeah.
If you're not rioting in the streets yet, get on that.
Maybe skip a meal.
Yeah, get hungry. We have pizza, though.
And if you want to support the show, you can always help us out by going to atheistnomads.com/donate.
Yeah. And if you like the show, but you can't become a supporter, you can always reshare or tell your friends.
Tell your friends.
And based on the listener survey, the demographics that we are targeting with Patreon and the like is not those who make less than $40,000 a year. It's more those over, you know, $80,000.
Dude, we get the struggle of living paycheck to paycheck. Don't worry about it. Let someone else pick up the bill.
Don't break the bank. There are others who can help.
Yeah.
Totally.
Like our new patron, Leah G.
Leah G, new Patreon
subscriber. G for goddamn awesome.
And we are so close to meeting our first goal.
For the first time.
For the first time.
300 episodes in, and you're almost reached your first
goal.
Been
on Patreon since 2014, and just, we're cents away from meeting our first goal.
He actually
goal.
Thought we had reached it because they rounded up, but we are a few cents short.
Dang.
Yep, so.
I will be a Patreon for a few cents a month.
There you go.
You can't go lower than $1.
I don't think that's an option, but all I appreciate right. the enthusiasm.
Maybe not, because my Netflix overdraws me still, so.
You got to get yourself a Netflix buddy, password buddy.
I did. My wife is now paying the Netflix.
All nice. Right. Good job.
And we put it on a cash card, so if there's no money, it will just be like, you're not watching wet Netflix for a couple days.
There you go.
All right. Well, Jason, thank you so much for joining us.
Always a delight.
Oh, what a pleasure. What a pleasure.
Lauren, you rock.
I do.
And listeners, remember, not all those who wander are lost. Thank you for listening to another episode of Atheist Nomads. You can find show notes and contact information at atheistnomads.com. Follow us on Twitter at Atheist Nomads. And like us on Facebook at facebook.com/atheistnomads. Please subscribe to the show in iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcatcher of choice. And while you're there, feel free to leave us a review. Theme music is courtesy of Sturdy Fred. Until next time, this has been the Atheist Nomads.